The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Well, I tell you what, a lot has happened in the 2 weeks since we've been away, hasn't it, in the world of rugby league?
It's all happened.
Points deductions, coaches getting fined for slagging off the referees. Do we need to carry on?
Yeah, coach changes in the championship.
Coach changes, new teams
new
being
teams
added.
Coming in.
Toronto, here we come.
Hang on. They're not European.
Does it matter?
Of course it matters.
It's the world of rugby league and we're spreading the Bible, baby.
Oh, no. Not you as well. You've been washed.
I've already inquired about my visa. And
why have you been approached by Paul Oakley as well?
No, not quite.
Oh, right, okay.
I may have done 20 years ago, but them days are gone.
I don't know, you could still run up and down a wing. I've seen you run away from the bar.
Exactly, yeah. If you had bar running, I'd be a certainty in this lineup. But isn't to be. Toronto are coming to Championship 1 to give it a more international flavour.
They've already got international flavour. There's Toulouse in there. This is just dreadful. I think it's a fly-by-night idea, in fairness. I was showing you something before.
Are you not going to embrace it?
Well,
are you not going to go over there?
I would love to go over there. Having said that,
on a very slow boat,
I just get
as a stowaway.
I just get the feeling though that they're not going to be around in rugby league for very long because they're aiming at Super League from year one. So,
yeah.
You know, so in 3 years' time, they're hoping to be a Super League entity.
Talk about pressure. Talk about the pressure on Paul Rowley and Brian Noble already.
Oh, I mean, it's dreadful.
Can he handle it?
I don't know. I mean, Brian Noble, he's got previous for helping to set teams up, hasn't he? He did it in Crusaders, didn't he, when he went there and he signed a whole new side for them in Super League.
Yeah.
Paul Rowley, during his time at Lee, certainly at the start of his tenure at Lee, he set up a club there. He ended up signing, a full squad of players. So they both got a bit of previous for setting teams up. But
speaking of players, it'd be interesting to see who does go over there because even Jamie Peacock revealed that he was approached.
Yeah.
Before he decided, nah.
This is why I thought. Have you not been approached yet? This is what I was thinking of. You see, I mean, there's rumours aplenty. We've gone past that time of the year where players can at least declare their availability now, so there'll be lots and lots of phone calls, and imagine even at this very moment being done between maybe the management of the Toronto side and the rest of players are coming out of contract in rugby league.
I mean, it's a generous offer that they're going to pay for all the teams to come over and play their games in Toronto, but you know, just loosely based on that figure, you're talking well in excess of £500,000. Now, I know the guy behind it is a very rich person, right? But you'd think that money would be better spent on maybe developing the game more in Toronto. And with four or five teams that are already playing rugby league over there, set it up as a semi-pro league. Do it that way. Do what they did in Sydney in the early 60s or 50s, whenever it was. Where rugby league was just predominantly Sydney-based.
Well, I mean, to be fair, in Sydney, they only expanded their borders, didn't they, in the late 60s, when I think Cronulla came in.
Yeah.
I think Penrith, Panthers
came in. Before that,
it
was just strictly a Sydney game, wasn't it?
It was. It was a Sydney-based game.
Maybe that's the way forward for them. That's what I'm trying to say.
I did a little bit of, stats ahead of coming in tonight. And
if he really is that generous, and give me £500,000 instead.
Why would he want to do that?
Just spend the money. Set my own team up in, where can I go? Benidorm
Bulldogs.
Yeah, I've seen a quote at Twitter from John L. Smith. He seems to be a fan for Benidorm.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine it. Beach rugby.
Yeah.
You'd have to get a stadium, you know, but
just set a temporary stand up on the beach.
But, don't get me started. I mean, Toronto, for starters.
Well, we're not going to get you started. We've only got an hour.
What rugby league pedigree have they got?
Listen, they
played a couple of internationals there. They got 7,000 people
Their sale is a ready-made market for rugby league in Canada.
They'd start off as the 11th club in Toronto. You know, there's NBA clubs there. There's, you know, Major League Baseball club there. It's just too saturated, that market. They're starting off at the bottom. Even Toulouse, and they're from a rugby league area, are only getting less than 1,200 fans in. during the league games. So what are they hoping to achieve? How are they expecting to run a full-time team based on a Championship 1 salary cap of 250 grand a season? And more importantly, how are they going to sustain it over a period of time? Because if you've only got four clubs playing in the Toronto area, that's only, what, 120, maybe 130 players that you get to pick from? That's not a big pool of players. And then you look at the other development work that's been done.
Oh, you're all doom and gloom.
Over. I don't care if I sound
embrace
like a
it.
Flat, I don't care if I sound like a flat capper.
Get the Canadian flag out. The maple leaf.
You're running around the studio with it, with one of those drapes on your back.
I am.
Stop it.
I'm going to try and talk Canadian for the next Final Hooter podcast on loverugbyleague.com.
Labatt's.
Yeah, we can drink Labatt's lager.
Yeah, yeah.
Get Gary Conley over there. He's known as Gary Labatt since playing days.
Dress like a Mountie.
Yeah, now you're selling it. That you should have sold it to the RFL that way.
Maybe it was. You never know.
Yeah.
Maybe they sold it based on the amount of moose steaks that they could sell or something like that as well. But yeah, no, I just think it's a harebrained idea. For me, it's not going to work. They're going to go.
Listen, it can only be the world of rugby that comes up with these ideas.
I think all they've done is they've just got a globe and then stuck a pin in it. They've spun it round. They've been having a laugh. They've just stuck a pin in it and said, yeah, there we go. Let's have a team in Toronto. Yeah,
brilliant.
Great.
Let's
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
And that we've not even examined the other side of the argument as well. The fact that semi-professional players are going over there. How's a teacher going to get time off in the middle of, school?
I'm sure they can ring a sickie.
But yeah, and if they're televising all the games, next they'll be sure. The boss will be there.
My twin brother.
You can tell you're a scouser. That's all I can say.
It's my twin brother, what you're on about. It weren't me. I was in bed sick.
Oh, I just think it is a crazy idea. Why are we so keen to bring these harebrained ideas into rugby league?
I think it's a great idea and I'm looking forward to going.
Just wait, give it a year. That's what I'll say. Okay. Give it a year. Come back to me in 12
months.
We'll
leave it at that because we've got plenty to talk about. Just speaking of points deductions, was that a bit harsh for Salford, do you think? But having said that, I was thinking that, and then you've seen what happened with Parramatta Eels, and you think, actually, we've been a bit lenient.
What happened with Parramatta Eels?
They broke the salary cap in Australia by $825,000.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the salary cap is in Australia.
It's a lot more than
they broke it anyway, and
right.
They've had all their 12 points deducted.
That they've won so far this season?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I can understand
so
that.
So the six Salford they got, it's a bit lenient.
In a way, though, when you look at the other points deductions that have taken place in Super League over the history...
Got two or four, haven't they?
It's been two, it's been four, it's been three. They've even had clubs go into administration and not had any points deducted. So, you know, I think that Marwan Kukash can consider his Salford side harshly done to, and I hope that they'll be successful in their appeal, because I tell you what, they're a much better side this year, and I feel that they're not punishing when it's actually happened. The punishing after the event, this is apparently taking place 2 years on.
Mm.
And I'm just sort of thinking, we're meant to have a live salary cap. Does that mean anybody can pay anything and it only gets checked 2 years later?
Yeah.
What the heck is that all about? It's another harebrained rugby league idea. You're going to get me on my soapbox. You're making me take me blood pressure medicine.
I've got the time for all that, so calm down. Relax. Let's reflect back to 1925-26.
Is this what you're hoping for? That was the year of the general strike.
It was, actually. No, the reason we're going to do this, because if you've had your head in a sandpit for the past month or so around the UK or around the Commonwealth, depending on where you're listening to this Rugby League show, the Queen's 90, believe it or not.
She's in fine fettle for 90
she
as well.
She is, isn't she? And we've been doing the maths and we've come up with the fact that the year she was born was in the season for Rugby League in the UK for 1925-26. Is that correct?
I think
Are we happy with that?
I think that's correct. You've got it right.
We've had the Boffins at Oxford University doing the sums for us.
Well, hang on. No, we just looked on Wikipedia.
We did, didn't we?
Don't build it up.
So before we talk about the modern day, let's look back 90 years ago and see what happened within Rugby League back then. Well, no change at the top of the table. Wigan were top.
Okay. And?
Wigan always finish top, you know that.
So nothing, they're always no up there, there, aren't they?
Wigan were the league leaders, and Jim Sullivan was the top point scorer, and Johnny Ring was the top try scorer. 63 tries in the season.
63 tries?
Because he played 38 games, mind you.
But having said that, that's still like nearly two tries a game,
isn't
it?
It's going, that, isn't it?
It is. He must have been one heck of a player, Johnny Ring, back in the day.
It certainly was. I'm sure Wigan fans will remember the name of Johnny Ring. For you Anoraks out there, it was the 31st season of Rugby League as we know it.
Hang on, I'm just writing that down because
I'm
a self-confessed Rugby League Anorak.
Yeah, we mentioned Wigan finished top of the Championship, but even back then we had playoffs. We had the top four playoffs like we have now in Super League.
Ah, but how big was the division?
It was...
You didn't look that far
27
down.
Teams.
Ouch.
But quite bizarrely, sir, you had like Lee playing 32 games.
Yep.
You had like Barrow playing 36, Hull 38, Hull KR 34.
Yeah,
so
there wasn't there wasn't a set fixture list.
All right,
clubs,
okay.
Clubs basically arranged their own.
Just rang each other up and said, do you fancy a game?
Yeah, they arranged their own fixtures. They did, as long as they played, I think, a minimum of 30 games, I think that's where they got the counting from.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it was all decided on, your league position was all decided
percentage.
On a percentage basis, yeah, wasn't it? Which actually happened, you know, just a couple of years ago in the reserve championship.
All right, okay. So they still nick the old ideas.
They nick the old
make
idea.
Make it a modern idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the playoffs in Super League, for example.
Very much so, yeah.
Because it is a top four this year, like it was back in 1925, 26, is that what we looked at?
Yeah.
Actually, in the playoffs, Wigan defeated Warrington in the final, 22-10.
It's quite a comprehensive defeat, given that time of Rugby League, isn't it, that?
Mm. Also, as well, the Challenge Cup final, Swinton. Actually won the Challenge Cup that year, beating Oldham 9-3.
Now, this was before they started using Wembley, because Wembley was only started being used in 1929. So where was this final played? Does it mention it?
No, it doesn't. I imagine it'd be Main Road or somewhere, wouldn't it?
Somewhere like Leeds or somewhere like that, possibly.
Two Manchester teams? Nah, it's got to be Main Road.
Maybe they would have just had a jaunt into Yorkshire.
You could have used Old Trafford. Old Trafford was a dump back in that day.
What are you saying?
It was a dump.
What are you saying? Old Trafford was good enough for Rugby League when it were a dump?
It wouldn't have been Old Trafford that year. It was a dump.
Okay.
Mm. Mm.
Just a couple of other interesting ones. In this year, St Helens Rex, which I think stopped being a couple of years later, they finished higher than St Helens.
They did, didn't they? St Helens Rex finished fifth, whereas the Mighty Saints finished 10th.
Where did the Mighty Widnes come?
The Mighty Widnes finished 17th in that year.
And who was just above them?
Dewsbury.
See, the Rugby League world was upside down.
Featherstone Rovers. We mentioned the playoff winners and the Challenge Cup winners. We had the Yorkshire Cup and the Lancashire Cup back in this day. Wigan were beaten by Swinton 15-11. I'll explain when I was at Swinton on Sunday.
Okay.
For the game against Whitehaven. They had a Heritage Day. And they had the original Lancashire Cup there.
It's
and
a
that
fantastic
explains
trophy.
What it's there for. A fantastic trophy. And I was looking at it thinking, why can't we play for that anymore?
Was you looking round seeing how many times you could count Widnes's name on it?
Because
I remember having the Lancashire trophy, the Lancashire Cup, sorry, in my front room about 28 years ago. And I remember going round it looking for every time Lee were mentioned. Yeah.
They actually you beat Widnes once.
Yeah, they had some success in that competition. Mm. In fact, it was 8-3, I think, they beat Widnes back in 82.
Forgot about that one. Anyway, yeah, so Swinson had the hands on that one. Dewsbury won Huddersfield 2-0 in the Yorkshire Cup final.
That sounds like a thriller, minute, that one.
It does. And yeah, the Lancashire League and Yorkshire League as well. Wigan won that one. Hull KR won the Yorkshire League on that particular season.
Which is interesting because I think all Kingston Rovers finished somewhere like 6th or 7th in league that year, didn't they?
Yeah. You mentioned like the St Helens Rex no longer around within the world of Rugby League these days.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at the division for teams that are no longer with us anymore. Wigan Highfield.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
They became London Highfield, didn't they?
Broughton
Rangers from Manchester, yeah.
Branley, no longer with us.
Yeah, sadly, with Branley.
Yeah, that's about it.
I noticed Lee finishing fourth bottom. You didn't have a go at that.
No.
You normally do.
I normally do, but I can't be bothered. Yeah, interesting one, that one.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Good year.
It's actually played at Rochdale in the Challenge Cup final.
Really?
27,000 fans packing into the Athletic Stadium.
Jeepers creepers, I can't imagine.
I went there in the 70s, it was a dump.
Is that your word for the day? You've called Old Trafford a dump.
It might have been a dump in 1924-26 or whatever season we just looked at. But
whatever season, yeah, 1925-26.
Yeah, it's there or thereabouts, isn't it?
It's there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
And that was another year in Rugby League, was it?
Yeah, that's when the Queen was 90.
Well, when she was born.
Yeah. Oh yeah, 90 when she years was born, ago. Yeah.
You're getting all confused.
I am, aren't I?
I think you're lost in a TARDIS somewhere, Adrian.
Anyway, should we flash forward to a modern era?
Yes, please.
And talk Super League.
Okay.
Go on then.
So, are we going round 12?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, round 12. Well, there were wins for Hull, Kingston Rovers. Massive one over Castleford. Hull against Wakefield. Catalans beat Salford. Warrington defeated Widnes. St Helens defeated Leeds. And Wigan defeated Huddersfield. This was a round, by the way, Adrian, where I think everybody left the tackle bags at home. You look at some of the scores here. 38-34 between St Helens and Leeds. 48-16 Warrington against Widnes. 42-32 Catalan against Salford.
You think they were on the holidays?
I think half of them are already gone, yeah. Mm. They would have surely been, you know, turning coaches grey, those defensive efforts.
I imagine the week after, the tackle bags must have been out because we did have a few closer scorelines.
Yeah, Salford 44, Hull Kingston Rovers 26.
Okay. Maybe not that game.
No, okay. Yeah, St Helens defeated Cass. Salford defeated Hull Kingston Rovers, like I just mentioned. There was a real humdinger of a game between the bottom two, Huddersfield 28, Leeds 20. Hull 28, Cass, Catalan Dragons 26. There was a close run thing over at Widnes. We'll come to that in a bit.
Yeah.
And a not so close run thing over at Warrington, between Warrington and Wigan.
Yeah, big win for Warrington, that one, wasn't it?
Massive, massive. I was really impressed with Warrington, to be honest. I thought that they dominated from about 15 minutes in. You know, Wigan got a good start to the game and actually scored the first try. And I was a little bit worried during those opening stages because I was thinking, well, you know, it's a rainy night, as you mentioned in your build-up. It was, you know, lots and lots of things were on the cusp of going against Warrington. They lost Tommy Lynham early on in the game, didn't they? Reece Evans had an awful run with injuries, then he kept getting up on his feet, and you're thinking, can he continue? It was, but in the middle of the field, Warrington were awesome, and they really got themselves forward, and it was Kurt Gidley who was pulling all the strings, and they won handsomely.
Certainly adapted to life in the world of rugby league, hasn't he, in the UK?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, he was one player that I picked out, you know, certainly early doors in the pre-season, as being able to sort of change the way that a team plays. And whilst Chris Sandow got a lot of the early plaudits of the season at Warrington, and rightly so, you know, the man's a rugby league genius if you give him time on the ball. A lot of that was being set up by Kurt Gidley, who went around his business, you know, ever so quietly, but ever so composed. And, you know, he's just so important to the way that Warrington play and the way that they play. He's just really, really impressive. He could have played that game in a dinner suit against Wigan.
Wakefield have been impressive since Chris Chester came to town, and certainly turned them into a different team, hasn't he?
Well, he's taught them how to tackle, to be fair. I mean, you know, when Tony Smith was in, when Brian Smith was in there, it just seemed like they couldn't tackle a good dinner, never mind a rugby league team. But, you know, Chris Chester's gone in there.
Said they couldn't tackle a Yorkshire pudding.
Yep, yeah, but, you know, Chris Chester's gone in there. He's got a few things in that he's brought in. He's got them buying into, you know, the fact that, yeah, we're Wakefield, nobody likes us, nobody expects us to do well. And I think that whole underdog feeling has really lifted them. It's very similar, I feel, to watching Wakefield back in the day when John Keir was coach. He seems to have just bought into something there, and his players, they're really going for it.
What do you make of the young lad Johnson? Everyone bigging him up at the minute, saying he could be a future international. That's the first time I'd seen him alive. Got a good turn of pace, but still a bit green when he comes to selecting his passing and his position.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, to be fair, he only had one real chance, didn't he, against Widnes, where they put him away down the left wing, and he turned an awful ball back in field for Liam Finn, which Finn put down. Where if he'd been able to take the pass, he was under the post, wasn't he, Liam Finn? But I think he's a very promising player. I was really looking forward to seeing him, in all honesty, and I don't think he let anybody down, but he has got some way to go, I think, before he can be challenging for international honours. There is a couple of wingers, in my opinion, that are just that little bit ahead of him at the moment, but you know, fair play to him, fair play to Wakefield. They're playing some good stuff at the moment, and they're in the top eight.
In the coach's corner, speaking after the victories from round 13 of Super League 21, Chris Chester and Tony Smith. We'll hear from Chris Chester first, though.
In terms of the league, that ladder, very, very important. Crazy game. I've certainly not been in a game like that before, where there's two men sent off and three or four simbing. But, you know, proud, really proud. Really gutsy performance, never say die attitude. And what pleased me most is the togetherness of the group. You know, when they made a mistake, they were all patting each other on the back, and they genuinely believed that they could win the game. And a special play at the end from Craig Hall, and the match winning kick from Finney. So yeah, I mean, Finney missed 9 out of 10 yesterday in training, but he got the one that mattered today. I thought there were two really good defensive sides that first half. There wasn't much that split the two teams. You know, we went in at half time in front, but we started again. It's the starts of the second half that we seem to be starting them a little bit slowly. Witness got the momentum, and you know, we were on the back foot for quite large parts of that game. But you know, we defensively we just kept working hard for each other, and you know, really 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 pleased that we've come away with the 2 points, because it's a very difficult place to come and win. We were shot to bits in terms of interchanges. We lost Ash to a dislocated shoulder that first 10 minutes. And Danny failed his head test and couldn't come back on. So in terms of the interchanges, we had to play, you know, the middles some big minutes. But we got through, and again, just a special play at the end to win it. You know, the message is we were getting the talk, were really good behind the post when they scored them a couple of tries that second half, and they genuinely believed that they'd find a way to win the game, and they had a little bit more confidence than I had with 5 minutes to go. But yeah, it was a fantastic performance from our guys tonight.
I thought probably took us about 15 minutes. I just thought we turned the volume up. After about 15 minutes, it was sort of nip and tuck there, and then our defence really kicked into gear, and we started getting really physical. And you know, when Wigan come, they're going to be physical, so you've got to stand up to that. And I thought we stood up pretty good to it tonight, and defended really well. I think at one stage in that first half, I think we kept them inside, kicking inside their own 30, three times in a row. That takes some doing. And, you know, it was good, strong defence. And I thought we built our game on our defence and got some rewards for those efforts by half time. You know, we started scoring a few points at the back end of the first half. And, set us up nicely. And then some of our attack improved in the second half. I thought our kicking game was very good throughout the game. I thought we only had one or two average kicks, one that Gids kicked off the side of his boot that went out on the full. But aside from that, I thought our kicking game was really good in those sort of conditions. That's important. So, you know, we learnt some of those sort of lessons a couple of weeks ago when we went over to Huddersfield, and the importance of kicking and kicking well. And so, you know, even a loss a couple of weeks ago has helped us there tonight. You know, Tommy Lynham, losing him, my heart was in my mouth there for Reece Evans. Went down a couple of times, and I thought we're going to lose right wing, right centre, straight up. But Reece got through it. It meant some adjustments, and, you know, the young replacement that come on did a pretty good job, young Benjamin. He slotted into that right centre position really well. So, we did what we needed to do, and a little worried about the use of the bench. But Benny Westwood, you know, came on and had a real impact. He did last week, and he did this week. He's playing a bit. He's sore at the moment. His ankles that he had operations on, prior to Easter, are sore at the moment, and we were hoping not to play him next week, but we're down a couple of troops. Ryan Atkins has fractured a finger, so we need to see what happens to that tomorrow, and we've got another couple of people who are question marks on them as well. I am going to say, you know, I know I said it on Sky a little while ago, Wigan were down a number of players, and We've got a lot of injuries. They've got a lot of injuries. The difference for us at the moment is most of our starting players, or what would be perceived our starting players, are on the park, or have been, and hopefully they will be in the near future.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
You sure that wasn't old age with Benny Westwood, not the fact that his ankles are hurting from his operation?
Oh, I'll tell you what, though, he was awesome when he went on, though, didn't he? He goes on, he scores a try.
Two tries.
And scores another one later on. You know, I mean, he's rolling back the years at the moment, Benny Westwood. He's
Super Benny Westwood.
I don't think I've ever seen him playing better. It seems to be suiting him coming off the bench.
I think Warrington fans should change the song, so they were singing that theme of song when Steve McCurry was playing.
I can't believe there was a Super Steve McCurry song going
Super
on.
Spud McCurry.
Super Spud McCurry, all right.
It's the same tune as Super Benny Westwood.
Mind you, he had a first spell, didn't he, at Warrington? He wasn't a bad player for them.
He did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, yeah, that's that done and dusted with those two. Good weekend for both Wakefield and Warrington. They'll be looking to continue it in the Challenge Cup.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, Warrington go over to Oldham, and I should have been a bit more prepared for who Wakefield are playing, but to be fair, you know, they're going to go on and they're going to have a bit of confidence because of their Super League performances over the recent weeks, you know. So for me, the two good sides to watch at the moment as well.
Yeah. You don't even know who they're playing?
I didn't look.
Amateurs, aren't we? We are tall amateurs.
I wish you'd come to me with that link about 5 minutes ago, to be honest.
We'll have a look in a minute. We'll try and find out who Wakefield are playing. But before we do that, having a great season for Warrington since arriving from the NRL is Kurt Gidley. After a slow start against Wigan, turned out all right on the night.
Yeah, there was probably a few mistakes in the opening part of the game, and that was had a bit to do with the hail that was still on the field, and the ball was really slippery, obviously. And I thought there was a period in the first half, you know, I'm guessing between 20 to 40 minutes, where I thought we completed well. We built pressure, kicked in behind, and we had some great kick chase and huge defensive sets, probably, you know, 3 to 4 times in a row. Our, you know, back three catching the ball in the full, and that's the ball game you need to win. You know, possession, you need to win momentum, and I thought we really done that during that probably 20 to 40 minute period.
During those 8 minutes, what do you think the key to success was?
During the whole game, completing, turning them around. You know, they've got some great wingers and fullback as far as they carry in the ball from kick chases. And, you know, we need to certainly put our kicks on the spot, but you certainly need a big chase on the back of that. And I thought we'd done that. We completed well. We still scored, you know, plenty of points, but probably the proudest part is the way we defended.
Just looking at the conditions, not exactly summer rugby league out there, was it?
No. We've had some, you know, cracking days over the last week, I think it was. So there's been some beautiful sunshine recently, but it wasn't here today.
No, not at all. You've had to change your partner in the halfback role. How do you think you and Stefan are playing now?
Yeah, I mean, it's a work in progress, and I think over the last 2 weeks, we've certainly scored plenty of points, but we got some great attacking players all over the park, back rowers, front rowers, hooker, definitely. So we need to have some balance in how we attack, and I think in the last 2 weeks we've done that.
Certainly been a good beak on the field, defeated Widnes, and now come up with another derby win against Wigan.
Yeah, look, it's about playing consistent at this time of the year, and there was a period 3 to 4 weeks ago where we were a little bit down, and we probably weren't attacking well and weren't completing sets, and you know, it's still the huge part of the game. You need to complete well to conserve some energy and put some pressure on the other team.
And before the magic weekend, Warrington are top of Super League.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. It's great. We want to be the top of the Super League later on in the year, and certainly when it gets to the Super 8, we want to be beating the top teams then.
You've obviously must be enjoying your time at Warrington because you've decided to stay for an extra year.
Yeah, but I mean, my plans were always I wanted to stay for 2 years. I had to earn that the second year contract, and it was nice of the club and Tony and Simon to re-sign me for next year. So yeah, I guess I don't have to worry about that part of my future, and you know, it doesn't really change too much how I approach my training and games.
And the next challenge now for Warrington is the road to Wembley starts with Oldham away on Saturday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've watched, you know, the Challenge Cup, and I've spoke to plenty of guys who have played in the Challenge Cup and won the Challenge Cup, and the more I hear about it, the more I want to be a part of all that. So yeah, it starts next week, and yeah, that's something I've never played in or had the chance to playing. So it's all new and exciting for me as well.
13 weeks down in the UK as a season, how have you found it?
All of it still be really challenging. That's why I come here. I wanted to change. I wanted a new challenge in my lifestyle and footy wise, and it certainly gave me that. We've had some really tough games. I don't know how many games we've played now, but we've played some really tough ones, and the Super League's I think it's a great competition, and it's good to be a part of it.
Enjoy the rest of the season.
Thanks, mate.
Cheers, Kurt.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
Now, we were arguing why Kurt Gidley was playing. You were telling me a minute ago,
yep,
you didn't know, you couldn't remember your weight if you were playing. And when I got the fixture, I said, oh yeah, I did know it was that. No, yeah. That's why I called you a liar. I didn't realise the mic was up.
Oh, see, always be prepared, Adrian.
You should have been prepared, because you should have known. You should have known the fixtures.
Don't go blaming it on me.
Listen, you're meant to be the rugby league expert. I'm just blagging it.
Listen, I'm not a rugby league expert when I've not written it down. Preparing to fail.
But when you looked at the screen then, you said, oh yeah, I knew it was Toulouse.
I remembered it.
That's why I called you a liar, but I didn't realise the mics were up.
Yeah, and it just happened at an inopportune moment as well, didn't it?
It did. Sorry, Kurt.
Apologies,
we always
sir.
Knew you were going to stay for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. And
you apologise. It was you that made me call you a liar, but I didn't realise the mics were up.
So, well, you left the mics up. Anyway, Speaking of the Challenge Cup.
Right, let's go for the draw.
Okay.
Can Batley beat the Catalan Dragons?
Close, but no, I don't think so.
Can Oldham beat Warrington?
No, I don't think so.
Can Dewsbury beat Wigan Warriors?
No, I don't think so.
Can Halifax beat Widnes?
Maybe.
Can Toulouse beat Wakefield Wildcats?
Having seen Wakefield and Toulouse at close quarters recently, I would say Wakefield have the edge in the game.
Oh, you just said there's going to be no cup upsets. There's not going to be an Oldham versus Hull Kingston Rovers repeat then, is there?
No, because Hull Kingston Rovers are out of the cup.
No, but Oldham defeated Hull Kingston, that's what I meant.
I know what you meant, and I was just being facetious. Silence.
I actually think Halifax could beat Widnes there, actually.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Widnes are playing low on confidence at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah.
The only time that they've come even near to full throttle over recent weeks was when they beat Rochdale in the last round. But I just get the feeling that if you chuck into the mix the middle eight result between the two sides last year, the fact that Halifax have strengthened the team and whatever, I think it's going to be close, and Widnes are going to have to get themselves out of some stake, to be honest.
It's going to be an interesting seventh round draw of the Challenge Cup, because there's going to be some big guns in Super League missing the cut. Huddersfield versus Leeds going head to head, Castleford versus Salford, St Helens versus Hull. Some big names dropping out there.
Some good games there, actually, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, which is why it's a little bit bizarre that, you know, Huddersfield and Leeds haven't ended up on telly, but never mind.
That's right. I was hoping you might have said one of the minnows might win through to the quarterfinals.
Don't get me wrong, I would love that, because having followed Lee over the last couple of seasons, they've done some tremendous stuff in the Challenge Cup and got through to the quarterfinal stage a couple of times.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that seems to be as far as any team from the lower league can get these days, doesn't it?
At Toulouse, you've already mentioned the fact that you're not really happy they're in the Championship One next year with Toronto, to give it an international
flavour. They might be in the Championship next year, because they're doing great guns at League One level.
They've got a lot to learn. I covered the game against them, against Rochdale, and they make a lot of mistakes. Some classy players playing for them, but they play a rough, tough style of rugby league, and Alan Kilshaw wasn't happy with it anyway.
No, and but I think he would have been quite happy with the fact that they fought back from 16-0 down after about 15 minutes. And, you know, you're right, they do play a classy brand of rugby league at times to Toulouse. They've got a really quick fullback in Corella. They've got two wingers that are also pretty nippy as well if they can catch the ball. But you do get the feeling if they're put into a close game, they can quickly lose it.
And obviously the game ended up a draw between Rochdale and Toulouse, but Rochdale showed a lot of character. They were 20-6 down at one point.
Yeah, so again, you know, he's got him going really, really well over at Rochdale as Alan Kilshaw this year, and that was a marked result last week, which they had against Barrow as well, where they beat them 18-4. So he's certainly doing good with the fairly limited resources there, and I wish him well. I think that, you know, he's a great coach, he's a great fella as well, he's Alan.
Great old-fashioned game of rugby league, I thought it was. Plenty of bit of bash, bit of biff, you know, a bit of gouging, biting incidents. Oh, it was like in the days of Les Boy playing.
So it was a bit like Witness in Wakefield last week, was it, in Super League?
Is that like a Super League version, was it? Yeah. Okay, let's hear from Killshaw and Sylvain Houlez. On Killshaw, I always thought this was going to be a tough test against Toulouse, and it turned out to be the case.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't be any prouder as a coach the way we've gone against a full-time team. We're 16-0 down and a bit... people getting the calculators ready, but we hadn't had much ball early, and really proud of the way we came back and some of the adversity we faced throughout the game, and to go two down and then come back and you know, nearly win it with a drop goal. But you know, we did some smart short kickoff to get the ball back, so there's some very pleasing aspects of that performance, and we'll kick on now in the league, hopefully.
With that in mind, was the draw the right result overall?
I'm not sure. I felt that we were getting a lot of penalties, which we should have done for offside, and that suddenly stopped. And then they got momentum and came back in the game. Look, they did some things that weren't in the spirit of the game today, biting and gouging. Look, we play hard and we don't mind a bit of push and shove. You know, it's a physical game, it's rugby league, and you can take that, but biting and gouging, no, there's no room for that in this game. And if you can get away with that in the French competition, then good luck to you. But you're playing under our rules, and our referees need to manage that. I've seen some things on the video, you know, against Lee, lifting tackles and things like that, and obviously someone's had a word with him about that, because there weren't many of them today. But that really is a real dirty tactic, and a couple of our lads have been bitten and gouged in there today, so it's disappointing with that element of the game.
Going to say it was a bad tempered game, wasn't it?
Yeah, look, we knew we had to be aggressive, and we know what, you know, that's if you ever play a French team or you've been over to France, you know, with a national team or a youth team, you know that you've got to be aggressive, and you know, we give our lads license today to be aggressive, and we needed to be, and I thought we matched him, and I thought, you know, there's some big efforts in there. There's some sore bodies.
As a game as a whole, it's a great advert for League One.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think that game would be out of place in the Championship. I said it last week, I don't think they, you know, teams getting full-time teams getting parachuted in, I don't believe in that. But what I'm happy with is we've matched the full-time team there, and it was a good advert, and hopefully it will give some other teams in our bit of confidence that, you know, you can have a go at them, you'll get them, or you'll come close.
It's a great team effort, but in the coach's eye, who's the standout performer for Rochdale today?
Oh, there's too many to mention. You know, Jewel Reg has been bagged a lot this week, but how good was Tom Lynham? You know, so I'm really happy with Tom, and Joe Philbin went well, but we were good across the board, and I'm just happy, you know, that some of the lads who, you know, that maybe haven't stepped up the last few weeks, you know, did things that we've been practicing. Danny Yates was good, our halves were good, our nines, and thought Mike Ratu was really good as well.
You didn't get the win, but the draw still maintains your 100% start.
Yeah, well, we go to Barrow next week, it'll be difficult up there. They're coming off a loss, but they're a different beast at home, so it was important that we did take some out of the game, and I think at 16-0, if you'd offered us a draw, we'd have took it, and yeah, we're still unbeaten in the league, so like I say, tough game next week, and then we're London at home, so the competition's getting stronger, and that's what we want.
Cheers, Al.
Cheers, mate.
Sylvain Houlez, tough test against Rochdale, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was tough. We knew it was always going to be tough. A little bit disappointed, you know. The game, I didn't think the game were really. I didn't enjoy the game, I have to say. You know, like, I didn't enjoy watching it. I didn't enjoy. And they made it, like, I thought, like, it was, like, bad tactics. Ref didn't help. And, you know, I don't think rugby league is that's what it's about. But, I mean, they are probably happy they got a draw. We're not happy, we think. And they're probably happy because, you know, they played the best game of the season. We didn't. So, like, you know, it's good, fair, good for them, you know. But there'll be other games.
Great start, though. 16-0, you must have thought you could have got the job done.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we play some good footy, and we find ways, and that's what it's been about, you know. And to be fair, I mean, we could have built a little bit more pressure. We gave a lot of ball away, and that didn't help us, you know. But I mean, you know, we start like we usually do, and we like to play. We like to throw the ball around and finding way to score and tries. And today, a little bit, it cost us. We didn't analyze the risk enough, so we just have to, it's a good lesson for us, you know. I mean, that's what we've been doing. We learn from them games, you know. We learn from where we're coming, you know. We have to expect some probably some where some tough place like that to come where everybody, you know, like yell at you and didn't help us, you know. We got a lot of 50-50s. I mean, all of them probably went against us, you know. And but yeah, so there'll be some great lessons. The boys, you know, we can leave that place with our heads up, you know.
First away game of the season for you guys. How did you find the whole preparation, the whole shebang, as they call it?
No, I mean, it's not the first one. You know, we've been to Wasbro, you know, in the Cup. We've been to South Wales, so it's a third game, you know. So, I mean, it was a little challenge because we always put a lot of effort and energy last week against Lee, you know. So, like, I was interested to see how the boys were going to react to that, you know. And I thought, I mean, that we started really, really well, and after maybe like in the middle before halftime and after halftime, we probably were a little bit flat, and that's why we didn't put the same energy. So that's what allowed maybe Rochdale to come back in the game.
And when you got your noses in front, did you feel you had enough in the tank to hang on?
Yeah, I mean, we always think we know that we can score tries, you know, and against Leeds, we fix a lot of our defense, you know, and so today they score a lot of points against us, you know, like and some like easy tries, you know, we'll let go, like, you know, so they're easily to fix, and we just have to we'll learn from it, as I say.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
It was cool and calm when you're interviewing them after games, but during that game against Rochdale, the hat was on and off more times than the traffic lights changing.
Well, it obviously tells you that they weren't playing to the full potential, does it, if a coach is reacting like
it's
that.
It's quite funny watching it, actually.
Yeah, I mean, they got it right the following week because they played against Oxford and beat them 54-8.
Wow.
So that's usual back to normal, isn't it?
Cracking game of rugby league, it's got to be said, though.
Yeah. I mean, any draw that you get in rugby league is usually a great game, isn't it? And to be honest, you know, I've been to games which have been close down the years where you thought it's deserved a draw, and obviously that one did.
Cracking game over at the home of Sale Rugby Union Ground when Swinton entertained Whitehaven. It was a great event, actually. That past players there, former old trophies knocking down alongside the current division, the League One. Championship playoff trophy as well, but
you know, it's really heartening when clubs are having events like that, and you know, fair play to Swinton. I think they're celebrating 150 years as a club since they were formed, you know, which they've got such history, and I'm pleased to see that they're back on form. They've won 5 on the bounce now in the Championship.
Form team of
really
rugby league,
settled in. Very much so, yeah. I mean, in you know, previous weeks it was Catalans, it was Lee, and you know, they've took that mantle and let him run with it.
Going to leave the last words for John Duffy, but before I let him say him, I witnessed 2 of the best tries in Super League in the World of Rugby League this season. Good match all round. Well done, Swinton. John Duffy, your Swinton team there today, so plenty of guts and character to come out on top of that one.
Yeah, obviously Whitehaven had a long trip down, and they were late getting here, so it always changes your mental approach to that, and we knew they'd come out firing, and they did, and we didn't cope with it very well in first half, and we were sloppy. We looked like we got carried away with ourselves with these wins we'd had, but we had a good chat at half time and got back to what we were doing. We've come up with a great win. I don't think they scored in second half, did they? So fantastic win for us, but I'm going to end up having an heart attack, I think, this year.
I'm sure
a couple of times now.
I'm sure the Swinton fans really been having a few out there as well today.
Getting better each game. The atmosphere is brilliant here, and it helps with the roof on that stand over there. You know, it's very loud at the minute, and the lads are buzzing off it, and the fans have been fantastic.
Defensively, you've mentioned it, didn't score a point in the second half, that's a bonus.
No, our goal line in the second half was great. Everyone was competing for everything, so when we do that and we're concentrating, we look a good team. But any time you slip up or you don't concentrate, or you feel you're not going to give 100% in this league, you get burnt, and we didn't first half. So credit to our attitude in second half, but we've got to start games a bit better.
And the try that won it was a cracker, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean, it was a try saver as well as an interception there. If that had gone over top, they'd have scored, and obviously that would have been levelled the scores. So yeah, Marsh has been fantastic every game. He's come from Wigan, and his attitude's great, coming from that club, and he's scored some absolute pearling tries this year. There's not many he'd score, you know, the ones he has, and he's hot at the minute.
Good team effort, but in the coach's eye, he was a standout performer for you guys today.
Standout, I thought Andy Brachek was good on debut. I thought he was fantastic off the bench, he changed things around. And I think Marshy as well. Marshy, both our wingers, both our wingers, Robbo and Marshy, they've been great all year.
In the grand scheme of survival, how big of a 2 points is this one?
Yeah, we just spoke about that inside. You know, it would have been very, very tough if we hadn't got that win today. And just stands in good stead now. We've got a week off to get everyone ready. A few players played injured today, so we'll have this week off and rest up and then get ready for Bradford.
They say you've had a slow start to life in the Championship, but you certainly got used to life and ground out the results.
Yeah, I mean, we've competed every game. With us not having pre-season friendlies and with us not having a home ground as well, that first 6 weeks, it was... We probably learnt more about ourselves in that 6 weeks than we will all season. But we've dug in and stuck together and we've ended up getting some good results. So that's 5 from 5 now.
So yeah, the informed team then?
Yeah, I didn't think I'd ever say that this year. But yeah, I suppose, yeah.
Radio General.